Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I am Mark VQ. I am your host. I'm very privileged to have only one guest today, but she's a really great guest. She's currently the CEO of National Talent LA, works with a lot of actors and directors and writers and a bunch of those people in the Hollywood business. And it's going to be interesting to be able to talk to her a little bit about some of the behind the scenes in terms of what an agent is and what they do for their clients and what they look out for as well. Karen's on with us right now. How are you doing, Karen?
Doing great. Thanks for having me today.
Not a problem at all. I mean, about roughly how many clients does your agency currently work with right now?
You know, currently we're roughly at about 100, and that's a combination of actors, writers, directors, and producers, and slowly gaining more. It just basically I sign fairly slowly just to make sure I know who's on my roster and can do everything possible for them and have a handle on it. So it's growing.
Yeah, you know, and that's important. You know, goes to my first question is the fact that, you know, you as an agent, what do you kind of look out for in terms of clientele and who you personally like to see? And, you know, are there certain things that you kind of, you know, see in certain materials that you get?
Yeah, you know, for my agency, what I've basically looking for in talent and the people that I sign are hardworking, professional, good communication. I look for people that are going to match kind of the core values of my agency, which is ethics, integrity, transparency, service, transformation. I've really made it a point to try to build the supportive environment of the philosophy we rise by lifting others, you know, support each other, supportive environment, encourage each other. I don't want any drama or toxicity, I guess, within my agency, so try to stay away from that.
Yeah, and we were just talking off air about the idea that you had a networking event recently, which is important because, you know, that's how you gain connections. You know, you said you work with all facets of the movie industry, from the directors to the writers to the actors. And, you know, it's kind of almost important for these people to get together, you know, because they could be on similar paths, or they have an actor that might be perfect for somebody's script, or it might be somebody that's perfect for a certain role that the director's looking for as well. So, obviously, that's very important in terms of, you know, especially with you, because you're kind of getting these guys work by happenstance, or I don't say happenstance, but by relationships.
Exactly. Yeah, I think for the networking event that I did, I thought, you know, and there's not a lot of agencies that do this, but it was important for me for the actors to kind of meet each other. And so initially it was, you know, everybody on the roster is invited. I added a red carpet press event to also get them publicity at the same time. I think these actors, as you said, they can be working together. It's good for them to know each other before they step on that stage together. Along with that, I do have people from the industry, and then my producers and directors that, you know, they get a chance to get to know the actors in person. Along with that, it's pretty interesting to watch too. I went ahead and for the press event, people that were going had movie roles that they've gotten that are coming up. Some of them are working together in them. So I put them on the red carpet. And, you know, for example, Marissa Romanoff, that's out there in public. I've got a few actors in that, and they were on the red carpet together. And the synergy was amazing because they already knew each other. So I think that really helps also when they, you know, step behind the camera and are getting, you know, for the directors, these actors can already read each other and work well together. So I think it's important.
Yeah, and now getting back to the idea of, you know, of somebody coming up to you, you talked about what your kind of your expectations of them as well. If an actor or an actress or a director or a writer or a producer wants to approach you in terms of representation, you know, is there any certain way that you'd like to be approached there? I mean, is there I know for actors, you know, obviously the reels are very important. The headshots are very important as well. Is there anything that you're kind of expecting in terms of that first meeting or that first contact with that person?
Well, you know, initially I like the resume and headshot, and if they have a reel, I like that emailed to me. I actually get a lot of submissions every single day, and I don't have time for, you know, tons of meetings because I'm focused on, of course, the actors that are on my roster. So I like to vet them that way first and kind of look through that, and then I'll invite them to an in-person meeting after I've looked at what they've sent me.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. And your approach, I mean, is obviously one that's really, really good as well. One of the things that I found kind of interesting, and I think you can elaborate on this, is the fact that, you know, first of all, let me start by asking you this question. Tell me about a little bit about how the agency got started and roughly when that happened.
Well, the agency, which is a SAG-AFTRA franchise agency located in Los Angeles, it got started in roughly February. I've got my California state license in January. Then I got my SAG-AFTRA franchise, I think that was about March, and I've just been pretty driven since. So it's really grown fairly fast for the amount of time I've been in there. It feels like it's been a lot longer already with everything that I have going. So, yeah, and that's mainly the whole reason I started it was just my passion for the industry. I was in the industry since I was younger and in the helping field of working as a trauma specialized therapist for over 15 years. And I wanted to, you know, step into something more, something bigger, a leading role, and combine it with my passion for the industry. So that for me was just going ahead and opening and, you know, right, it takes a lot actually to get your license, but to get work towards getting my SAG-AFTRA franchise talent agency license and kind of lift other people up through that on the going for their passions and their dreams and taking some of my, you know, approaches of, I feel people work much better with positive reinforcements and, you know, in more of the helping supportive environment. And that's kind of the history of being a therapist. And so that was my combination, how I want to start the agency and make it a base of having ethics, integrity, supporting each other and lifting each other up and building them towards the dreams that they're wanting. You know, of course, they have to do their hard work, but if you have that positive environment, I feel like people can thrive in that.
Yeah, and to say that you have like, a, you know, almost 100 people under your roster right now, I mean, that's just amazing if you just started back in February. I mean, you know, it's just – you know, incredible to see that. I mean, a lot of agents don't maybe get maybe 10, 12 clients maybe their first year. You know, you're really doing a really hell of a job, you know, getting a lot of these great clients as well and getting them from really good gigs by the sounds of it. So, how was it for you this past year, just starting up the business?
You know, it's been amazing. And part of it is as I think just signing the people that, as I described, kind of what I'm looking for and the very supportive, build each other up. It's people that will work together as teams, that can put them together as teams. They refer the people they know. And so they're bringing in similar people. And so I get a lot of referred people from people I'm already working with. So especially like, you know, one of my producers, there's a lot of actors he's worked with. He's signed with me and referred a bunch of the actors that were unsigned that he's used in a lot of his film because he likes the way my agency is built. So that's one example. I mean, I had quite a few actors signed from there. There's other actors that they tell their friends and roommates about me. And so then I sign them. So, you know, it's referred. And so there's somebody that knows them, and not that I don't take unreferred where they're just emailing me. I still look at their stuff, but it's kind of nice when they're referred. I get referred from people outside the agency too, that I just coordinate with. So other directors and casting directors and people that I might know in the industry know of my agency and then refer people to me. A few different publicists that refer to me because I've gotten to know them and they know me. So then they'll refer talent.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's great to have those connections as well. I mean, just to have that as well. So it's great to be, like I said, to be at this point in your agency's career as well. I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, there's a lot of talent out there as well, you know, especially nowadays with as many projects that are going on right now in terms of just even the LA area, the fact that besides the fact that we have the networks and we have the studios, major studios, but we've got a lot of like independent movies. We have Netflix, we have Hulu. We've got a bunch of other sources as well. I mean, you know, how are you seeing the environment right now in terms of an actor or a director or a producer? There's obviously a lot more opportunities for them as well. And, you know, kind of just tell me about the, you know, kind of what's going on in terms of Hollywood in your mind.
Quite
in terms of opportunity.
There's tons of opportunities right now for actors. Yeah, I mean, you're mentioning a lot of the different distributions now, and there's a lot of, you know, as you just kind of mentioned it, I think that's huge that there's Amazon Prime and so many, you know, so many different distributions that they can get their movies, you know, distributed through. So I think it's, you know, it's great. I think it's flourishing. We've got within the agency tons of projects that are coming up that's excited that, you know, every month we'll be able to be announcing more and more as they get public. So there's definitely no slowness that I see. I've got a zillion projects on my desktop that my producers are getting through. So it's lots of opportunity, lots of, yeah, I mean, there's no lack for that. It's exciting. I'm, you know, excited about, this is why I'm into this. It's just a passion of mine, and it's fun to watch those projects go from beginning to end and watch how the producers and directors put them together and end up, you know, in the end with this, you know, the full project. It takes quite a bit before it even gets to the actor breakdown. It's kind of fascinating to watch the whole process.
Yeah, you know, and getting back to that question that I did want to ask you is the fact that, you know, social media nowadays and the ability for talent to be able to converse with fans and to be able to speak their opinions on online as well. I mean, and that kind of goes into the fact that they can become more popular that way. And what's kind of your opinion about the idea of having a good social media environment, especially as an actor or a director or a producer or even a writer at times?
Well, I think that's huge. I mean, nowadays a lot is on social media, and that's how you get out there and you get, you know, more followings and more people watching your stuff and increase the popularity to sell those movies in, you know, which are in films and TV shows. So I think I even see in the breakdown. So in the actors' breakdowns that we submit to, there's times we see roles that actually they're asking for, or maybe it's like commercials or something, and they want some actors that have some big social media numbers because they know that that actor's going to retweet, or, you know, when they mention the actor's name, there's a huge, you know, number of following already behind that actor. And so I see where that's significant. And so it's important for them, you know, to keep working on their numbers. Also, I always advise to always keep it professional, of course. I mean, you're on stage. You need to, you know, have your, that needs to be all of your professional, and, you know, it's a business and it's your career. So, you know, keep the social media, you know, going and increasing. And yeah, I think it's very important.
Yeah, and especially with the people that you have. I mean, obviously the ethics is probably what we said was one of the top things that you look for. And, you know, you gotta have to, you know, kind of, you know, charter your social media, you know, strategically, as it were, you know, so you don't, because sometimes if you say the wrong thing on Twitter, then it gets blown up out of proportion. So, You know, that's always that tough thing when it comes to that. We've seen that many of times over the past couple of years. So, you know, fingers crossed on that.
Right. Know, think before you post. Yep.
Yeah. Now we were talking before we went on air about the idea of, you know, multi-talented, people and actors or actresses with maybe singing or dancing or modeling backgrounds or something like that as well. I mean, you know, is it preferred maybe to you know, maybe want to go off the, you know, to have one agent, or do you feel that, you know, multiple agents for different kind of things are in order, or kind of what's your opinion on that?
You know, it just depends on person. I mean, personally, with my agency, I like to sign across the board on commercial and theatrical because both departments are strong within the agency. However, some agencies are commercial only or theatrical only. So if somebody comes across a theatrical agent they really like and they don't do commercial, they don't really have a choice, but if they want to be doing both, to go sign with another one. for me, it's commercial theatrical. I mean, if somebody wants, you know, a full, you know, another area that I don't, you know, do, such as I don't have a full music department yet. We also do literary. But for me, I might have a talent, as you mentioned, multi-talented, and it's an actress and she also sings and does some music. Now, we see that in the breakdowns, but it's not like we're providing a music management for them or anything like that. That would be where they would maybe add that if they have an equally talented music background too. So it really depends on the situation.
An offshoot of that would be the idea of what should an actor, you know, put down on their breakdowns. You know, I mean, obviously you want to put as many talents as you possibly can, but you can't go into 2 pages, you know, behind a headshot or on one page, you know, right there. But, you know, what are some of the things that you would recommend that besides the obvious that an actor should put on their breakdowns?
You mean on the resume?
On the resume, I'm sorry, yeah.
Okay, so on the resume, you know, putting everything down possible is important. When they're on the casting sites, I mean, you, some of them are kind of lengthy, but sometimes we get some very unusual requests, and if that wasn't on the, you know, on the resume or we didn't know it, then, you know, sometimes we do have to search their resume when we're trying to fill a breakdown and find this one little quirky skill that might not come up very often and see, you know, who has that. So I think, you know, if you've got the talent, that, you know, put everything down. If make sure you know the talent. Like if somebody says, whatever your talent is, just be sure you can do it if you're on the spot and they ask you to do it right then. I mean, don't stretch it. Make sure it's, you know, actually something you do, not just something you want to do. That's I guess an important thing to keep in mind. It's vital. I see a lot where multiple languages come up. That's a really also kind of a good quality to have, is being multilingual, and, you know, whatever, you know, any talent, even professions that you've had are important. They ask for sometimes somebody who's actually been that. So like a nurse or, you know, a police officer, they're actually looking for somebody who's been that in a career or currently that. And so that's something to keep in mind also.
Yeah, you know, because we've heard stories about sometimes where some of the bigger name actors had actually kind of fudged the fact that they knew certain things on their, like, playing guitar or maybe riding a horse. So then sometimes they go and backtrack and get that before they even hit set. So it's not recommended, but, you know, it's not unheard of that has happened in the past. So. Let's see, what I was going to ask you. Oh, I was going to ask you about, speaking of kind of just being multi-talented and to be able to be able to kind of fit any situation, as it were, you know, a lot of these actors do have that feeling that they want to not be typecast. They want to have different kinds of, you know, we want to do separate roles, or, you know, some want to do more than do comedies and dramatic scenes, or they want to be more of the darker characters, or they want to be the more good-hearted characters as well. That a lot of that kind of deals with the idea of a headshot and what goes on with a headshot or whatever. You know, kind of take us into that portion of it, kind of the first look and the headshots and what actors should actors and actresses should look in terms of the in terms of getting headshots, and you know, how many looks should they get, and kind of get into that.
You know, typically for headshots, they are vital. I mean, I'll throw some things out now, but they're just like with anybody in the industry, I say research it, study it. It's like any career. You need to be really putting your full being to it to understand it. Don't expect other people to tell you it. It's good for you to learn yourself also. And so look it up. There's tons out there. I do educational stuff that I kind of find files and I'll send to my talent to help them out. But typically is you at least need your commercial and theatrical headshot. You've got to find, well, let me start with, for a headshot, it's an actor's headshot. It is not a model's headshot. It is not a glamour shot. And go to an actor's headshot photographer, not a modeling photographer. I did modeling for years. I know there's a big difference. And so with that, your very minimum is like a theatrical and a commercial. But then what you want to do, it really depends on the person. So you've got to look at what roles do you think you're going to, that you could play. For instance, you know, certain people, you know, are going to, they can play a mom, a professional, this, you know, we're talking, it depends on the age. You might have an 18-year-old, you might have a 35-year-old. I mean, you've got to look at the practical sense too of who the talent is, what roles could they potentially play, and realistic to the age range. And so you look at that, and so you want to, yeah, gear your, then you get your, you know, and there also is like athletic. Somebody maybe has history of basketball player, they know how to play basketball, so they could get a role for that. You might want that's geared a casual athletic look. These are headshots, and so we're not talking like full, like, you know, different props and that kind of thing, but it's just kind of from casual wear to business wear to, you know, your different looks. If you can play, you know, just the varying range. Whatever your headshot is, you also have to realize that if you're picked off a headshot, that better be who's walking into, that casting director that picked the headshot is expecting that person that they saw on the headshot to walk in. So look like your headshot. Regardless of where, yes, you can, you have that range of emotions that you can show within the headshot, but I've seen a number of them where the person doesn't look at all like the headshot. If they're picked off that headshot from the casting director, that's not going to go over well because that's what they're expecting to walk into the room for the audition room. And so that's something to keep in mind too after you get your headshot back or when you're picking a headshot photographer. And look at the headshot photographer's work. I mean, look through what they've done and see if it looks like good quality work.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's very important to be able to get that as well. I mean, it's, you know, it's not easy to be able to be a photographer.
Right.
I've been a photographer before. So you know,
lighting's everything.
Yeah, exactly. Lighting is everything. The way that your chin is positioned is everything.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the background is really everything as well. So yeah, there's multiple things where you can. You know, it could make or break a photo, so I'm very familiar with that. One question I wanted to ask you is that, you know, Los Angeles obviously has a really good industry, but we're seeing a lot of productions move up to Vancouver or Toronto, or right now Atlanta's being very, very hot as well. With your clientele, I mean, is it mainly Hollywood-based clientele that you work with, or do you work with anybody outside of the outside of California?
No, it's mainly LA because even though you see the films filmed in different areas, they audition in LA. And so you could be filming in different ones. One of my producers has, you know, films that'll happen, you know, some of it might, parts of it might be filmed in LA, parts of it might be filmed in other locations. I think LA, it might be because you've got, you know, the mass amount of people to pull from, as opposed to if you film in some kind of semi, I won't say remote, but there's not a lot of choices. If you only pulled from those actors there, you know, the director, producer is not going to have as much choice in the talent that they want to use. So, yeah, I mainly also with being in LA on those casting sites, besides doing the auditions from within for my producers and directors, but on the casting site breakdowns, those will be same day, next day auditions in LA. If you're in another area, that's not going to work. And so a large portion of them are same day, next day after you submit the actor. It's pretty quick. And so that's not enough time to travel somewhere else.
Yeah. It's kind of unusual. I mean, it's somewhat important for you to be in LA for that, you know. You know, nowadays with everything that's going on, it just seems like there are certain professions where you can be different places, especially in the entertainment industry. But it seems like acting always seems to be hubbed over in Los Angeles. If you want to become, you know, a serious movie or commercial actor, then it seems like Los Angeles has to be the place where you're at. So, you know, either that or New York. So perfectly understand on that as well. Thanks for answering that question, because I was really curious on that as well. Because I've known quite a few productions that have kind of gone to different places, and that's kind of an interesting question. You know, who's probably the youngest client that you have on your roster, roughly?
So currently I do have one that's a child. She's more like 9, but I have her mother's signed. So some agents specialize in children, some specialize in adults, some do both. Now, I'm overall choosing to do adults at this time. However, I've kept one child actor on there, and main reason is because the mom is on there and she is fine to work with. The reason, I've been a therapist for many years, and I've worked with families, with kids, with adults. I've worked with everything, and it's the same across the board when you're working with children, which, you know, I'll be straight out. It's not the child that's the problem, it's the parent. And I have to say this because it's important for, I think, parents that have child actors is, you know, be more, you know, to be workable and to be helpful instead of hindering to the child actors. You know, sometimes the parent can be overbearing, and then as an agent, I actually don't want to deal with difficult parents, especially as I'm starting out new. I'm not saying there's some great ones to work with, but it's a lot more work to have to vet the parents and the child and make sure that you've got, you know, a full working team. So at this point, I don't choose to build a children's division so much. I'm not saying I wouldn't sign a couple here and there, but it's, you know, I'm building. I just started in February, so I'm focused on, you know, at this point, my adult actors. I also know that a lot of breakdowns ask for 18-year-olds that look like 16 or 17-year-olds, so they don't have to deal with the underage rules and regulations, and I think it's easier for work. So I do pick some 18-year-olds that have a younger look for those breakdowns.
Yeah, you know, of course, you're just building your business, and, you know, you know, once you get to the couple years where you start to really start to pump up, you know, your different divisions or wherever that heads, you know,
mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see where you kind of head in that direction, you know, and the actors and the directors role and producers and writers and all your clientele will kind of tell you, I would assume, where the next, you know, big build is going to be at. So it'll be interesting.
Well,
to see,
you know, it just naturally
grows.
And that's why I think it just naturally grows, and yes, divisions will build within my agency. That's where, when I first started, you know, actors, and then it just naturally went to directors, writers, producers. The literary, I didn't, when I first started, wasn't thinking literary, but there's so much demand for it, and I actually, as I looked into it, absolutely love the literary part of the agency too, and so that's what's in the build right now. So I think it's just the demand, it just grows naturally where it needs to grow, and you see what's needed, and yeah, it's definitely growing, and yes, the divisions will grow within my agency.
Yeah, now, you know, like I said, you got a lot of your clients just have forks in the pipeline, probably not ready to necessarily say anything yet, but, you know, anything else coming up for the agency, anything exciting that you you want to promote or anything?
Things that they're going to be in? Oh, my gosh.
Well, is there anything for the agency in person? If any one of your actors, you want to mention anything that they're in or anything like that, just, you know, feel free.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I've got, like my producer, Josh Hodgins, will have The One Remains coming out in October. We already got a preview of it, which was amazing. So that's exciting. We don't have the exact date yet. It is announced on IMDb, so that is public. We just don't have the exact release date. Should be October. We've got Miranda Spigner has Marissa Romanoff coming up, and I've got Michelle, Brett, and Ross. Ross was one of the writers on that. That's going to start filming. And like I said, these are public. That's announced on IMDb, and it's been all over the media. They should be starting filming on that soon. So that'll be exciting when that series comes out. There's quite a bit. I'd have to pull up the list. I actually do have a lot for my actors. And, you know, I'm all over social media, so I try to get that out on social media too and announce, you know, what the actors are in, what's coming up and shows. And there'll be lots of announcements the next couple months too of other shows that are about to come out. So, yeah. Sorry, that caught me off guard. I have to, like, pull. There's quite a list of listing,
no,
but there's a couple
okay.
of them.
speaking of social media, where can people follow you on social media?
So I'm pretty much everywhere, but the website is nationaltalentla.com. And then I've got Twitter and Instagram, and, you know, that's under, you know, all under National Talent LA. There's National Talent LA Facebook and LinkedIn. So it's fairly everywhere. And then if you go to the website, that'll have the links to all of it rather than having to, you know, so it's easy just to go to nationaltalentla.com, and then you can find the Twitter or the Instagram button on there and get to the other ones also.
And you can also find out information about how to submit if they want to send a reel or send a headshot or a resume to you as well. I'm pretty sure that's information's on the website as well, so definitely go check that out as well. Anything else you want to add at all, Karen?
No, I think that covered it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's been interesting because I talk to publicists, I've talked to actors, I've talked to musicians, I've talked to everything. I've yet had the first time I've ever talked to an agent, which was really interesting because I'm really interested in to see how you do your job and basically what you expect of your clients. So, you know, it's great to be able to get that information out as well. And, you know, would love to have you back on. Maybe we'll have a couple more questions for you as well. Maybe some of my listeners will submit some questions as well. But first of all, congratulations on the success of the agency so far. You know, I really look forward to see how this agency grows in the next couple of years. And we'll hopefully talk to you down the line, especially when some of your clients get some of this big stuff going on.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to do an update with you.
No problem at all. And any of your actors or any of your directors or producers are absolutely welcome to come on the show as well, too.
Wow. Well, I will get that lined up. They would probably love that. So I will send you a message and we'll talk about some future planning there on shows.
Oh, definitely. And again, thank you for joining me on the show. And we'll talk to you soon. And best of luck with the rest of the year.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay, talk to you later, Karen.
All right, thanks. Bye.
That was Karen Patmos of National Talent LA. You guys can check them out, nationaltalentla.com. If you're an actor or an actress or a director or you're looking for representation in the LA area, please go to their website and definitely check out some of the stuff that they're going to be as well. Check out to see what they're doing. So, I mean, again, it was interesting to talk to Karen just about what an agent looks for and all that as well, and what her thoughts were as well. So it's great to be able to have that kind of that situation as well. So here's the deal. We are not going to have a show next Monday, but we are going to have a show on Sunday. We are going to we're going to try this again. Fingers crossed and knock on wood, I'm knocking on wood right now, that we will be doing a show on a train. We haven't done that in, what, 7 to 8 years. We'll be on a train between Denver and Omaha. I believe the train has Wi-Fi, so we should be okay in terms of being able to do a show. It will not be a live interview, though. I'm more than likely to have a taped interview from where I'm in Colorado Springs at the Wrestle Like a Girl Gala. There's quite a few known people that are going to be around that I'll probably do one recorded interview. So I will be live on the train when I introduce the interview, but the interview will be pretty much a taped one. But I just wanted to do a podcast on the train because it's a very rare thing. I don't know. I've never heard anybody do a podcast on a train besides myself. You know, several years ago when we did several podcasts on the train while I was touring the U.S. So you guys can check that out on Sunday. Tentatively, it's going to be a late one. So it's going to be 9:30 more than likely. It's going to be 9:30 Pacific, but we might do it a little bit earlier. So I will let you guys know later this week once I get the plans cemented. I will be live from a train, but we'll have a recorded interview with somebody as well. It's just going to be too much of a hassle to be able to have somebody live on a train and not worry about having to any cutouts or anything like that. So, but it's still interesting that I'll be live on a train, which is always pretty cool. You guys check us out at SWIV on Twitter and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. as well. You can check out some of my old interviews, blogtechradio.com/somewhereinvegas. So Sunday night we'll be live via train coming up, and I'll have the announcement of who the guest is probably Saturday or Sunday morning when we start it up. So it'll be kind of a surprise who the guest is going to be. So I'll let you guys know on that as well. Definitely in 2 weeks, I think we'll be back to our regular schedule at 2 p.m. Pacific. I do have a guest lined up, but I'll have more information on that in the next couple of days. So with that in mind, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll talk to you guys Sunday on a train between Denver and Omaha, Nebraska, live. Talk to you guys then.